and did his preaching. And the last 18 years of his life, from age 30 to age 48, he spent his time in Jagannath Puri. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, the devotees from Mayapur Dham, Navadvip Dham, they visit here every year. Every year they make a trip. As I read, the trip is about 900 kilometers. They walk. They spend the 4 months of Chaturmasi with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, they take part in the Rath Yatra as well. So the devotees will organize a party from Mayapur Dham. All the way they walk 900 kilometers to Jagannath Puri. 900 kilometers they walk, and they spend 4 months with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, inside the party will be Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and the rest of the devotees will be in this whole group that is walking towards Jagannath Puri. And as you know, it's a long journey, 900 kilometers. So the person in charge of arranging accommodation, paying the toll, because they are walking on roads, they have to pay toll as you cross the toll station. So the person in charge is actually Shivananda Sena. So Shivananda Sena is actually in charge of this, paying the toll and arranging for accommodation at Prasadam when the whole group of devotees is resting for the night. So Shivananda Sena, you know, he's very happy to do this service. He's very, very happy to do this service. And he took care of everyone so nicely. He makes sure that all the devotees have a place to stay for the night. And he's so expert, he knows all the paths leading to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri. One day, when the party was being checked by a toll collector, it's a big group of persons. So the devotees were allowed to pass, and Shivananda, he stayed back to pay the toll. As it is a big party, it will take some time for Shivananda to pay the toll, count the money, pay to the toll collector. It takes some time. So he was being delayed. And the party gone ahead. The party with Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, they went ahead and they reached the village where they're going to spend the night. So, but because Shivananda was held up at the toll station, he was held up. So when the devotees reached the village, they all sat under a tree and began to wait for Shivananda to come and arrange the accommodation and prasad for the night, because he's the only one that knows all the people. So all the devotees sat under the tree and wait for Shivananda to come. At this point of time, as they waited and waited, we must remember they walked the whole day. And every day, they walked more than 30 kilometers. So Nityananda Prabhu, while he was waiting, he became very hungry. Nityananda Prabhu became very hungry. And he was very upset. He's waiting for so long under a tree. And because he has not obtained a suitable residence, Nityananda Prabhu, he began to call Shivananda ill names. He began to scold him. He says, Shivananda Sena, he has not arranged for my residence. So Nityananda Prabhu was complaining. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I am now so hungry I could die now. This is Nityananda Prabhu's mood. And Nityananda Prabhu continued to say, because he has not come, I curse his 3 sons to die. This is Nityananda Prabhu's mood. He was so angry. Upon hearing this curse, Shivananda's wife began to cry. When Shivananda's wife heard that the Lord has cursed the sons to die, you can imagine the mood of the Mataji. She began to cry and cry. At this point of time, Shivananda returned from the toll station. The wife was cryingly informed Shivananda. He says, Lord Nityananda, he has cursed our sons to die because his quarter has not been provided. You guess what Shivananda's reply? Shivananda Sena, he replied, you crazy woman, why are you needlessly crying? Let my 3 sons die for all the inconvenience we have caused to Nityananda Prabhu. This is the mood of Shivananda Sena. He says, because we have inconvenienced the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Nityananda Prabhu, doesn't matter, let our sons die for this offense to the Lord. Why are you crying needlessly? Because he's a surrendered soul. He says, whatever the Lord you want to do with me, so be it. in the Shishtashtakam, you know, Mahaprabhu-chan, you know, the Lord says, my Lord, you can embrace me, or you can leave me heartbroken by not being in front of me. You can do everything you want with me. That is the degree of surrender that is required to be a pure devotee. So, after saying this, Shiva Ananda spoke to his wife. He went in front of Nityananda Prabhu. Very humbly, he went in front of Nityananda Prabhu. You guess what Nityananda Prabhu did? Nityananda Prabhu stood up and he gave him a kick. He kicked Shiva Ananda. But you guess what Shiva Ananda said? He responded. He was very pleased. And he quickly arranged for the residential quarters for the Lord at a milkman's house. When he arranged the accommodation for Lord Nityananda, Shiva Ananda immediately returned to the Lord. He touched the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and led him to the quarters. After giving the Lord his quarters, Shiva Ananda Sena became very pleased and he spoke as follows. Let us listen to what Shiva Ananda said. He said, today, O my Lord, you have accepted me as your servant and have properly punished me for my offense. My dear Lord, your chastising me is your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character? The dust of your lotus feet is not attainable even by Lord Brahma. Yet your lotus feet has touched my wretched body. Today my birth, my family and my activities have all become successful. Today I have achieved the fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately devotional service to Lord Krishna. When Lord Nityananda heard this, he was very happy. He rose up and embraced Shiva Ananda in great love. The Lord embraced his dear devotee Shiva Ananda in great love. Being very much pleased by Nityananda Prabhu's behavior, Shiva Ananda Sena began to arrange a residential quarters for the rest of the devotees. For the rest of the Vaishnava, headed by Advaita Acharya. So, the concluding part of this Leela, Krishna Kaviraj, he actually wrote, one of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's characteristics is his contradictory nature. When he becomes angry and kicks someone, it is actually for his benefit. As you all know, Nityananda Prabhu is non different from Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is the original guru, Adi Guru. So when a guru gets angry and chastises the disciple, it's actually for the disciple's benefit. And from this episode, we can see that Shiva Ananda is not at fault. He was there at the toll station, he did the service. You know, he did his service very nicely. He wasn't at fault. He was paying the toll at the toll station. And because of the huge party he was held up, it's not that he neglected his service. He did his service very nicely. But yet, Nityananda Prabhu got angry. But when he came back, he heard that his son got cursed to die. He was not disturbed. He says, whatever Nityananda Prabhu says, I accept it. This is the mood of a siksha, a real siksha. Whatever the guru says, even he's not at fault, apparently he's not at fault. There's no fault of his, he still accepts the chastisement. And this is the meaning of surrender. Surrender means, even you feel that you're not at fault, you still accept the chastisement. This is the surrender of a disciple to a guru. And this, if you have this surrender, then you can get the real mercy. Because the guru, he knows that Prabhupada, he knows Mukunda Das at that time, could not take the chastisement. But Trivikram Swami, he could take the chastisement. So guru only gives the chastisement only when he understands the heart of the siksha. Whether he can take the chastisement or not. Whether he can follow the instructions or not. So sometimes you may ask, why guru, you are not instructing me? You know why? Because you are not ready. That's all. And because we went in front of a guru, we tell him all our problems, you know, all our material problems, he knows we are not ready for further instructions. He knows so much anatta is still in the heart, how can he give us more instructions? So factually, the guru's mercy is always there. But it is, whether we receive the mercy or not, it depends on the degree of our surrender. And we must remember the episodes of Jagai and Madai. You know the prayers, the reply of Shivananda is so nice. He says, "Today you have accepted me as your servant." He kicked him. He was kicked. Shivananda was kicked, and he said to Nityananda Prabhu, "Today you have accepted me as your servant. Really, you have accepted me." Because you must remember the episode of Jagai Madai. They broke the head of the Lord, Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu didn't hit them because he did not consider them as his servant. Only when the Guru feels that this is really my siksha, this is really my servant, then I chastise. If the Guru doesn't chastise you, you know, he may not feel that you are his servant yet. Because Shivananda says, "Today you have accepted me as your servant." And he said that today my life is successful. Because you have kicked me, it shows that you have accepted me really as a servant. So this is the mood of Shivananda Sena. And this is the mood that we must have as disciples. We must understand if the Guru chastised means that he has accepted us really as his servant. And we should be very happy about it. But instead, because of intelligence in the mode of ignorance, we think chastisement is very bad. And praising is very good. This is our problem. So we should read the scriptures, and especially we should read Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand the meanings of all the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And of course, the three sons of Shivananda Sena did not die. They are all heroic devotees of the Lord, and their name are Chaitanya Das, Ramadas, and Kanapura. Kanapura, when he was young, is Puri Das. He's very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Puri Das, when he grew up, he became Shirakavi Kanapura, who wrote this Krishna Mika Kaumudi. This very special book actually describes the Ashtakaliya Leela of the Supreme Lord in Rajadam. So the three sons of Shivananda did not die. So just to clarify this point, the sons did not die. So this is the pastime of the Lord. So we should understand from this, the instructions of the Lord came down by the means of the via media of the spiritual master. So whether the spiritual master is chastising or praising us, we should accept them as the mercy of the spiritual master. We shall stop here for and we shall chant Jayaradha Madhava. Chant Jayaradha Madhava. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jayaradha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yeah.
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari
Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Hare Krishna Maharaji. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness, text number 18. Jyoti samapita jyoti,
jyoti samapita jyoti,
jyoti samapita jyoti,
jyoti samapita jyoti,
sammasaha paramuchate,
sammasaha
paramuchate,
jnanam
yeyam jnanam gamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam, jyotisam apita jyotis, samasaha param uchate, jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam, jyotisam apita jyotis, samasaha param uchate, jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam. Prabhuji,
jyoti samapita jyoti,
jyoti samapita jyoti,
samasaha param uchate,
samasaha param uchate,
jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam,
jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam,
hridi sarvasya vishtitam,
hridi sarvasya vishtitam.
Jyotishamapita jyoti,
jyotishamapita jyoti,
samasaha paramuchyate,
samasaha paramuchyate,
jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam,
jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam,
hridi sarvasya vishtitam,
hridi sarvasya vishtitam.
Jyotishamapita jyoti,
jyotishamapita jyoti,
samasaha paramuchyate,
samasaha
Matajis.
Jyoti samapita jyoti, samasaha param uchate, jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam. Jyoti samapita jyoti, samasaha param uchate, jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam.
And let us repeat the synonyms. Jyotisam, in all luminous objects. Api, also. Tat, that. Jyotihi, the source of light. Samasaha, the darkness. Param, beyond. Uchate, he says. Jnanam, knowledge. Nyeyam, to be known. Jnana Gamyam, to be approached by knowledge. Hridi, in the heart. Savasya, of everyone. Vishtitam, situated. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. I first read the translation. He is the source of light in all luminous objects, is beyond the darkness of matter, and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. And please repeat. He's the source of light,
the source of light
in all luminous objects.
In all luminous objects.
He's beyond the darkness of matter.
And
he's unmanifested.
He's knowledge.
He's knowledge.
He's
the object of knowledge.
He's knowledge.
And he's the goal of knowledge.
He's
situated in everyone's heart. So forth. The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects, like the sun, moon, and stars. In the Vedic literature, we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there is no need of sun or moon, because the effulgence of the supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahma Jyoti, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahatattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the existence of sun, moon, electricity, etc. for light. But in the spiritual world, there is no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of its luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear, therefore, that his situation is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. That is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Aditya Vanam Tamasaha Parastat, Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.8. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. His knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to that spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.18 says, Tam aha devam atma buddhi prakasham mumusu vasaranam aham kapadye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Tam eva vidipvati mrityumeti. Only by knowing him can one surpass the boundary of birth and death. Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.8. He is situated in everyone's heart as the Supreme Controller. The Supreme has legs and hands distributed everywhere. And this cannot be said of the individual soul. Therefore, that there must be two knowers of the field of activity, the individual soul and the super soul, must be omitted. One's hands and legs are distributed locally, but Krishna's hands and legs are distributed everywhere. This is confirmed in the Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.17. Savasya Prabhum Ishanam, Savasya Saranam Brahat. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Super Soul, is the Prabhu or Master of all living entities. Therefore, he is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So there is no denying the fact that the Supreme Super Soul and the individual soul are always different. So before we attempt to speak something of this verse and the purport given to us by Srila Prabhupada, let us all seek the mercy and blessing of their Lordship, Srila Rupini Dwarkadish, our previous acharyas, and all the assembled Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord, so that in the course of our discussion, we do not say anything that is offensive or is wrong. So let us all offer our prayers now. Om Madhyana Chimirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sakhtam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Dhamayam Dadati Swapadam Nikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakhtam Sakhtam జీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం భవిషణ ఫలితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దైవం శ్రీవాదా కృష్ణపాదాన లలిత శ్రీశాఖాపితం హే కృష్ణ కరుణ సింధు దీన చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ I was born in the darkness of ignorance. When a spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge, I offered my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. When the Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who have established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Jai Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Maharaji, Hare Krishna. So today we will be discussing the verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text number 18. Jyotisham apita jyotis tamasaha paramuchate jnanam yeyam jnanam gamyam kriti sarvasya vishchitam. Translation: He's the source of light in all luminous objects. Is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. His knowledge, he's the object of knowledge and he's the goal of knowledge. He's situated in everyone's heart. So in this particular sloka, Krishna is replying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is replying to the questions that Arjuna had at the beginning of this chapter. So Arjuna asked about Prakriti. He asked about Sitchagyan and quite a few things at the beginning of this chapter. So the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is giving reply. In this particular verse, the Lord is saying that I am the source of all luminous objects. Jyotisam. Jyotisam means of all the luminous objects. Tatapi Yotis. He says, I am the source of all the lights. And Prabhupada, in the Prabhupada, he explains to us, the fountains of the Supreme Lord light up the whole spiritual sky. Because in the center of the spiritual world is Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord is situated there. And by the effulgence of his body, the Brahma Jyoti, the Supreme Lord illuminates the whole spiritual sky. And why the light doesn't come first? Why the material world is described as darkness? Why we do not see that light? Prabhupada explained to us, because this material world is covered by the material elements, the Mahatattvas. Because of the Mahatattvas, we do not get the light of the Brahma Jyoti. It is described in the scriptures, the Mahatattvas is like a cloud in the spiritual sky. It's a small portion of the sky covered by clouds. That small portion is the material world. It says, three quarters of the Lord's creation is the spiritual world, one quarter is the material world. So that one quarter is the cloud in the spiritual sky. And because the material world is made out of material elements, the Mahatattvas, so that Brahma Jyoti light does not penetrate. So that's why we do not see the Brahma Jyoti here in this material world. And this material world is described as dark. Without the sun, for example, now if you go outside, it's dark. So Prabhupada explains to us, this is why in this material world you need the light of the sun, the moon and electricity in order to see. But this is not the case in the spiritual world. Because the effulgence of the Lord emanating from Goloka Vrindavan is covered by the Mahasattva, this is why we need the sun, the moon and electricity in order for us to see. Krishna also said, Tamasaha Param Uchate. Tamasaha means darkness. Param means beyond. The Lord is beyond this darkness. Beyond this darkness. And in this verse, Krishna also says, Jnanam. I am knowledge. His knowledge. And he's also Jnanam. He's the object of knowledge. And he also says, I'm also Jnanam Gamyam. And the goal of knowledge. And Prabhupada has explained these points to us as well. We will discuss this later. And of course the last point is Hriti Sabhasya Vishtitam. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. And this point the Lord has stressed many times in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord has said, Sabhasya Chaham Hriti Sanivishto. So he says, I'm actually in all your every living entity's heart. And the later part he also says, Ishwaraha Sava Bhutanam Kadeh Sedu Natishati Kadeh Sedu Natishati. Ishwara Sava Bhutanam. Sava Bhutanam means all the entities. Ishwaraha means the Lord. I'm in everyone's heart. Kadeh Sedu Natishati. I'm in everyone. In every one of us, the Lord is there. As Shiva Takashai Vishnu, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, the Lord in our heart is 8 inches. From the tip of the ring finger to the thumb, about 8 inches, situated in your heart, beside the soul, the jivatma. The Lord is in everyone's heart. So in this verse, the Lord also says the same thing. He says, Hridi Sabhasya Vishchitam, I'm also in everyone's heart. So let us try to speak something, because as I understand there's some deal being cut with our neighbors because they have to do some jamming. So we have to maybe do some adjustment. Okay, let us try to explain the four lines of this sloka one by one. In the first line, it says, Yotisam Apitat Yotis. The Lord says, Prabhupada translates as, He is the source of light in all luminous objects. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 8, Krishna says the same thing. Rasoham apsukanteya pravas means sashishu yaho. Pravas means light. Pravas asmi means me. Sashishu ya. Surya means the sun. The light of the sun and moon is me. So in chapter 7, the Lord has actually declared that I'm the sun and moon, the light of the sun and moon in this material world. So if we study the sun, we can actually come to the conclusion that there's a creator. It is explained in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, verse number 14. Prabhupada explains the word Sarva Pratyakya Hetave. It's explained by Srila Vishwaranath Chakravarti Thakur, who says that a result gives one a glimpse of its cause. If you see the result of something, you can get an idea of the cause. So Prabhupada explained, he gave us an example in that particular purport. He says, for example, since an earthen pot is the result of the activities of a potter. By seeing the earthen pot, one can guess at the existence of the potter. So let us say, for example, if you go into a jungle, you saw an earthen pot. In your mind, you must know this doesn't create, nature doesn't create by chance. There must be a potter that creates, that made this pot. There must be some, you can see some intelligence is behind this pot. It can be used to contain water, can be used for cooking. You know, some intelligence has gone into it. So by seeing the intelligence that has went in the pot, you can understand. There has to be a potter. So in the same way, we can understand by looking at the sun, because it's created by the Lord. Because it's created by the Lord, if you examine it carefully, you can see at the background of the sun is the Supreme Lord. But this takes a bit of intelligence. For example, you can see all these four sun tubes, the light bulb. The sun is actually like a supreme light bulb. If you find a light bulb on the beach, you will not say that this is light bulb, because you know the glass of the light bulb is silica. Oh, this is made by the beach, because the sand is all there. We won't say that. We look at the light bulb, we say some person has invented this, you know, some person has created this light bulb. It's not by chance. No chance. Because by seeing the light bulb, by our intelligence, we can understand someone has made this. So the sun is much more powerful than our light bulb. You can imagine, you know, you are the lightest light we ever see in our life is probably in the stadium. But do you feel the heat from the light from the stadium light bulbs? No, you don't feel it. But the sun is millions and millions and miles away from you. You feel the heat when it shines on you, the sunlight. So how much powerful is the sun compared to the light bulb that we have? And we claim that this sun is by chance. And of course, we can understand, the scientists actually examine the sun. They say the sun is shining because of hydrogen fusion. It's a nuclear reaction. It says the two hydrogen atoms, they fuse together. They produce this helium, and this great energy is produced. And they cite E equals MC squared by Einstein. They say this is how it's being done. But we look at the scientists. Hydrogen fusion is used to make hydrogen bombs. That's the most powerful bomb that the human being has made so far. And that hydrogen bomb lasts only for a fraction of a second. It dissipates massive amount of heat and light. But you look at the sun. It's shining for billions of years. Even the scientists admit the sun is shining for billions of years. Who designed that? The human being, by our puny effort, we can make a bomb, that hydrogen reaction, but it lasts only for a fraction of a second. But who created this sun? And as we know, human beings in our attempt to harness energy from nuclear reaction is a risky business. Chernobyl, we don't know, in 1968, so many people died because of that accident. And I went on the net and looked. For the past 20 years, there's more than 63 major accidents in the nuclear reactors plants throughout the world. It's just that it's covered up. It's not make a big news. You know, people get worried. There's 60 over accidents in 20 years. And nuclear reaction, we know, is such a difficult thing to control. Who is controlling the nuclear reaction in the sun? If that's the case, who is controlling? Human beings, by our puny effort to harness energy, we harness a minute amount of energy, and that's so risky. And the sun is giving out so much heat and light. The sun rays that hit the earth is only a tiny fraction of the sun rays. Where is the energy coming from? Who is controlling the sun's output of energy? That is so consistent over billions of years. Who is controlling? Who is controlling? The Lord is controlling. If we examine the sun carefully, we can understand that there has to be a controller. And of course, the scientists give you so much theory about the working of the sun. Actually, they do not know what's going on. They do not know what's going on. They just speculate. And if you understand, it's just what they say, it's just hydrogen fusion, why not you just go in a big blast and explode? Because it's so uncontrollable, nuclear reactions. But that is not happening. Someone is controlling it. And that is the Creator, the person that creates the sun. And of course, we are so much proud of our light bulbs, you know. We are being taught this, the scientists, you know, some of them, they are so proud of their light bulbs. They say their sun is by chance. Because at the dawn of time, because of the Big Bang, because of some reaction, some chemical composition, the sun is there and giving us so much heat and light. Why this is happening? Krishna has explained, because it's Mayaya Prahita Dhyanam. Because the intelligence has been stolen by Maya. That's why they say the sun, there's no creator. But if we use a bit of our intelligence, we can understand there has to be a creator in this world. And the next slok, the next line of the sloka is Tamasaha Parabuchate. Prabhupada translates as, he is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifest. The Lord is unmanifest and is beyond the darkness of matter. There's a Vedic injunction. Tamasi ma, please don't stay in the darkness. Jyotigama, please try to go to the light. So this is the Vedic injunction. The Vedas is encouraging each and every one of us, and as some of us may say, oh, this Vedas, you know, it's for the Indians. It's not for the rest of us. But you must understand what the meaning of Veda. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means it's for everyone. It's not a sectarian thing that we are preaching. It's not based on the bodily conception of life. We are based on the soul. Everyone is a spiritual soul. So the leading injunction for every one of us is Tamasi Ma, please don't stay in the darkness. Jyotikama, please come to the light. So this tamasa, this darkness, is actually avidya, ignorance. In the start of the class, we chanted the prayers. The first line goes, Om Madhyana Chimirandasya. Prabhupada, in the Science of Self-Realization, in the chapter titled, What is a Guru? Srila Prabhupada actually explains Ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance or darkness. So there's a dual meaning. Ajnana can either mean ignorance or darkness. And Timira, Timira means tamas, means darkness. So we are actually in darkness. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. This ignorance is often compared to darkness. And in this material world, because it's dark, it's full of ignorance as well. We are in this material world which is full of darkness. And we are also ignorant. So it's darkness. Ajnana and Timira. We are full of darkness. And when there is darkness, you cannot expect happiness. It's only suffering. In this material world, only suffering is there. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 16, the Supreme Lord says, Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avratino duna mahupaya sukhaoteya puna jamana vidyate. Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, Abrahma bhuvana, from the highest planet in this material world, Brahma loka, down to the lowest planet, all are places of miseries. Avatino, Punna Avatino, Punna Avatino, Punna means repeated, Avatino means returning. Are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death took place. Repeated birth and death took place. We cannot be happy here. But, however, we think that we can adjust our material situation and be happy. You know, although we may be initiated disciples of our guru, you know, we may think that, oh, I've taken a guru. Now I'm different from the rest, I'm safe, I can be happy here. But we do not understand, if we think this way, if we think that we are chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles, we'll be happy here in this material world, we are mistaken. We have not understand this loka given to us by the Supreme Lord. He says, Abrahma bhuvana loka, puva avatino juna. Even the people in the heavenly planets are suffering. What makes you think you are different? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us this example. All of us who has fallen to this material world is that we have fallen to a salt mine. Everywhere you go is salt. So wherever you take is salty. So to expect something sweet in a salt mine, we must be out of mind. You know, we must be crazy. So in the same way, if I expect to be happy here in this material world, which is full of darkness, it's also a foolish notation. And you are not taking the advice of the Lord who says, Abrahma bhuvana loka, puna vasino juna. We have not actually understand Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, don't stay here, come to my place. Mam upeita to come to ya, puna jamana vidyate. You do not need to take birth again if you come to my abode. So this is the instruction of the Lord. However, we are so hopeful in this material world. That's our problem. We have not realized this particular verse, Abrahma bhuvana loka. This is not a happy place. So, the Supreme Lord in this particular second line of the sloka, Tamataha Param Uchate, His Param is beyond this darkness. He's beyond. And actually, in fact, the Supreme Lord is the source and the controller of this material energy. In chapter 9, verse number 10, the Lord says, Maya deshena prakatihi suyate sa characharam petuna nena kauteya jagavipari vatsate. The translation given to us by Prabhupada goes this way. This material nature, this prakatihi, which is one of my energy, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So the Supreme Lord tells Arjuna, and also telling us, Maya Adekshena, by me, by my superintendence, this Prakatihi is actually manifesting, Suyate, under my superintendence. So the Supreme Lord says, this material world is created by me and controlled by me. I'm the controller of this material energy. However, let us try to understand in more details, because the Mayavadis, they say when the Supreme Lord comes, He takes on the material body. They say so much thing about the Supreme Lord being affected by the material energy. Let us try to understand the position of Prakriti, Ishwaraha, and Jiva. The Supreme Lord, ourselves, the living entities, and this material energy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text Number 9, Prabhupada has given us a very wonderful analogy to actually explain the position of the Lord, Prakriti, and Jivatma. And this explanation is following the Parampara. Srila Prabhupada quotes, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very good example to explain the position of the Lord, the living entities, and Prakriti, the material nature. The Goswamis, they say, although the sun is all light, you can look at the sun, it's all light, there's no darkness in the sun, it's all light. Similarly, the Lord is all light, He's Sachi Ananda Vigraha. There's no darkness in Him, He's all chi, He's all knowledge. There's no darkness in the Lord. The cloud, darkness, snowfall are part and parcel of the sun. We can understand that without the sun, there's no clouds. Because without the sun shining on water, clouds does not form because there's no evaporation. By the energy of the sun, clouds are created. And from clouds you get darkness, because when the sun is the sky is overcast by clouds, it's very dark. And of course you have this snowfall as well. Snowfall. Snow falling down. Snow is like rain as well. And snowfall is the result of the sun is shining. That's why snow is falling. And without the sun, there's no possibility of the sky being overcast. Without cloud or darkness, nor can there be snowfall on earth. So the snowfall, the clouds and darkness is because of the sun. But the sun is all light, but it causes the cloud that causes darkness to us. That is the position. That is the position. And Srila Prabhupada further explained to us, although life is sustained by the sun, we can understand everyone is sustained by the sun. Anandamaya. Everyone is sustained by this anand, this grains, this plant products is sustaining all life on earth. Although life is sustained by the sun, life is also disturbed by darkness and snowfall produced by the sun. Yes? It's a great disturbance. You can see in Europe in the past few weeks, it was heavy snowfall. Their life was affected. The flight cannot take off. People cannot go about their business. But we must understand that snowfall is the cause. Is caused by the sun. So this is the situation. But it is also a fact that the sun itself is never overcome by darkness, clouds or snowfall. The sun is far, far away from such disturbance. So by this analogy you can understand, the sun is like the Supreme Lord who is always in Golok Vrindavan. He's never touched by matter. But by the sun's energy, He creates the clouds. So by the Lord's energy, He creates the clouds as well. But who is nearer to the clouds? Us or the sun? The cloud is much nearer to us, it's kilometers away from us. But to the sun, the cloud is millions of miles away. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord's position is like that. He's in Goloka Vrindavan. This material energy is so far away from Him. It never touches Him. It never touches the sun. The same way the cloud never touches the sun. So we must understand this point. This is the position of the Lord. And we are covered by the clouds. So sometimes on an overcast day, we used to say, oh, the sun is covered by the clouds. This is factually wrong. The sun is never covered by the clouds. The sun is so huge. How can a small piece of cloud be covered by the sun? But we are covered by the cloud. That's why we cannot see the sun. So this is our position. The material energy of the Lord can never cover the Lord, but it can cover us. The tiny cloud can never cover the huge sun, which is millions of miles. But the cloud can cover us, the tiny jivatmas. This is the factual position. So this analogy very beautifully describes the position of the Lord, material energy, and the jivatma. Why we are covered, but the Lord is not covered. This analogy is a wonderful analogy given to us by Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And of course, the the concluding part is, Prabhupada has given us the concluding part. Is similarly, the Supreme Brahman or the Parabrahman, the personality of Godhead, is always unaffected by the influence of material energy. He's far, far away from it. Tamasaha Paramuchate. He's far, far away from this material energy. And he's the controller of this material energy. But he's far, far away. Okay, let us try to discuss the third line of the sloka today. The third line of the sloka today goes, Dhyanam Yeyam Dhyanam Gamyam. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, if a person desires liberation, the knowledge needed is that of the Supreme Lord. So, the object of knowledge is actually to know the Supreme Lord. Because all the jnanis, they're trying to achieve liberation. If you want to achieve liberation, you must know the Lord. So the Lord in this world is saying, you know, this is the object of knowledge. I'm the object of knowledge. And he's also the goal of knowledge. Because in all the Vedas, there's only one purpose. To know the Lord. Savasacham hridisani vishto matahas kriti ganama puham cha vidasa sabe ahame vavidyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. The Lord is saying, among all the Vedas, I am to be known. Inside the Vedas, there's only one thing, the search for me, that's all. And I'm the compiler of the Vedas as well. And I'm the knower of the Vedas. So that's the position of the Lord. And all knowledge, all the goal of the knowledge, ultimate goal of knowledge is to know the Lord. And of the absolute truth. There's nothing inside the Vedas except for the search of the Lord. That's what the Jnanis are doing. And in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has explained, there are five topics in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. These five things. Ishvara means Supreme Lord. Jiva means the living entities, like us. Prakriti means nature. Kala means time. And Karma means fruitive activities or activities in the material world. So the three primary subject matters are actually Ishvara, Jiva and Prakriti. And this is actually covered in the Jnana Yoga section of the Bhagavad Gita. As you know, the first six chapters is Karma Yoga, the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita is Bhakti Yoga, and the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita is Jnana Yoga. So in this Jnana Yoga, actually the three main subject matter that's being covered is Ishvara, Jiva and Prakriti. And this chapter 13 is actually like an introduction to the chapter that is followed. This chapter, the Sanskrit name of this chapter is Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga. This is the Sanskrit name of this chapter. Prakriti, nature, means this material nature. And this will be further elaborated by Sri Krishna in chapter 14, which is titled The Three Modes of Material Nature. And Purusha, Purusha means enjoyer. And who is the highest enjoyer? Who is the Purushottama? Who is Purushottama? That's Krishna. So, Purusha means enjoyer. Enjoyer means the Supreme Lord. Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam. That's the position of the Lord. And this will be further explained in chapter 15. The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Purushottama Yoga. In chapter 16, we have this Viveka or consciousness. Consciousness, this means the consciousness of the Jiva. Chapter 16 is describing the Jiva. There's two types of consciousness. And the title of the chapter 16 is the divine and demonic nature. There's two kinds of consciousness of the Jiva, whether it's divine or demoniac. This is the two kinds of consciousness a Jiva can have. Chapter 17 is titled Division of Faith. Chapter 17 is actually the law giving very practical application. Because from 13 to 16, the law is only talking about the theory of the position of the Jiva, the position of the Ishvara, and what is Prakriti. But chapter 17, the Lord is actually describing the interaction of all these things. And this is division of faith. how to see these three modes of material nature acting on different jivatma, coloring their consciousness, and how they're acting, and from the activities of different personalities, different persons in this world, you can understand which mode of material nature they are in. So this is the purpose of chapter 17, to give us the realized, the applied knowledge. So Krishna is not only talking about theory, he's talking about application, how you can see all these things acting. In chapter 18, it is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And actually all these chapters are actually extension of chapter 9. Chapter 9 is Raja Vidya Raja Gudyam Pavitram Itam Uttamam Pratyakshevagamam Damyam Susukam Katam Adyavyam. So the second verse of chapter 9, Sri Krishna actually says, let us see the translation. This knowledge is the king of education, Raja Vidya, the most secret of all secrets, Raja Gudyam. It is the purest knowledge, Pavitram Itam Uttamam. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. If you realize this knowledge by understanding the Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, you can actually perceive the super soul and yourself as well. Because you cannot just see yourself. Because the Supreme Lord has been compared as the sunlight. In the morning when you wake up, you look at the mirror. By the mercy of the sunlight, you can see yourself in the mirror. So in the same way, only by knowing the Lord, you can see yourself. Without knowing the Lord, without seeing the sun, you cannot see yourself in the mirror. So, to realize the self, self-realization, for example, the book title, The Science of Self-Realization, means, if you realize yourself, you must realize the Lord. Without realizing the Lord, you cannot realize yourself. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and is joyfully performed. Susukam katam abhyavyam. So, this knowledge in chapter 9, the Lord has described this as Raja Vidya Raja Gudyam. So, in chapter 14, the Lord says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Parambuyaha Parakshami Yananam Jnana Uttamam. The translation is, the Supreme Lord says, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, in chapter 14. In the beginning of chapter 14, the Supreme Lord told Arjuna, I'm going to tell you again, Buyaha, I'm going to tell you that this supreme knowledge, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, Jnana Uttama. So this Jnana Uttama is actually also from the chapter 9. Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Gudyam Pavitram Itam Uttamam. I'm giving you the highest knowledge. In chapter 14, the Lord is again giving the extension of the knowledge in chapter 9. So, it's not that, you know, we just understand the middle 6 chapter of Bhakti Yoga. I'm not so keen on this Gyan Yoga. You know, I'm not a Gyani. But the Lord says, again I'm declaring to you this Gyana Uttamam, this highest knowledge. So we should never neglect the studies of the last 6 chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada always warned us, you know, religion without philosophy is just a sentiment. We become a sahaja, takes things very cheaply. If we do not have this gyan, this is not the way to go. We need the gyan to have this renunciation, this vairagyam. Without this knowledge, the renunciation spirit in us will never arise. Because we still consider this a ninth place. We cannot understand this. Abrahma bhuvana loka puva avatino juna. We cannot understand this without this gyan. So this gyan is very important. Only by this gyan, this knowledge of this tradition of this material world, then we can give it up. Or else we cannot give it up. So we cannot neglect the study. We can say that, oh, this gyan yoga is not important. But Krishna says, this is, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom. This is the extension of chapter 9. If your understanding of chapter 9 will be incomplete if you do not study the remaining chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. This is what we must understand. In chapter 15, the summary of chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Iti gudyatma sas, Iti gudyatamam sasram itam uttam mayanaga. Krishna says, this is the most confidential part of the Vedic scripture. O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. So chapter 15 is Purushottama Yoga. Krishna is talking about himself, Purushottama. So Krishna, at the end of chapter 15, he says, this knowledge, this is actually Itti Gudyatama Sastram, the most confidential part of the scriptures. This is what he told in chapter 9. Chapter 9 is Raja Vidya, Raja Gudyam. Gudyam means secret. This is the secret of all secrets. And this secret, Krishna gave more explanation in chapter 15. So from these two slokas of chapter 14 and chapter 15, we should understand that this Gyan Yoga section of the Bhagavad Gita is actually the extension of chapter 9. And we must study it. It is as important as the middle chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And why is this knowledge so important? Why is this Gyan so important? We always think that, oh, Bhakti Yoga, we are doing Bhakti Yoga. Why we need knowledge? Krishna has explained in chapter 4, text number 38. Krishna says, Nahi Gyanena Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyate Tat Swayam Yoga Samsidaha Kalenatmani Vindati. Let us read the translation. Krishna says to Arjuna, in this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure. Pavitram iha vidyate. There's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisam. There's nothing as pure as this jnan. Krishna declared in chapter 4, text number 38. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. This is the mature fruit. And Krishna further explained, and one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. This jnana is actually the mature fruit of all the devotional service that you perform. This is the conclusion of the Lord. And in the Prabhupada further stressed to us, in other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. If you are in Krishna consciousness, you have no knowledge and no peace, you are not in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of the Prabhupada stressed, that is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the test whether you are performing devotional service. Because Prabhupada says this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. If you have knowledge, you'll be peaceful. And that's the symptom of you being in Krishna consciousness. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam yantam mam shantim richati. If you know these 3 points about the Lord, you'll be shantim richati. You'll be peaceful. This is the test. And these are very basic points that's covered in every class. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam. The Lord is the enjoyer of everything. The yajna and tapasa, or the austerity that everyone performs, the Lord is the enjoyer. Sarva loka maheshwaram. The Lord is the proprietor of everything. Material world, spiritual world, everything belongs to the Lord. This is very basic philosophy. We have spoken so many times. And Suhidam Sarvabhutanam, he's the best friend. He's in the heart of everyone. Gantvat Mam Shantin Richati. The Lord says in the end of chapter 5, if you know these 3 things about me, you are peaceful. But however, we are not peaceful. And in chapter 9, the Lord says, Susukam Katam Agadya. This is joyfully performed. But we turn all around, do we feel very joyful? Because we have not realized this Raja Vidya Raja Gudya. We have not realized this knowledge. And we have not realized the extension of this Raja Vidya Raja Gudya in the last 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. That is why we cannot have this peace and happiness in Krishna consciousness. This is the reason. And of course, the Lord has made it very clear. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service and enjoys this knowledge within himself. So this is the test. We must ask ourselves, do we have this gyan and peacefulness in our heart? This is the test. This is the test. And of course, in the last line of the sloka today is Priti Savasya Vishtitam. The Lord is in everyone's heart. The Lord is in everyone's heart. Okay, I'm running out of time, so let us this principle of accepting a spirit, some of us may argue You know why we need a spiritual master? Because the Lord is in everyone's heart. Kudi sabasya vishitam. And the Lord has guaranteed. In chapter 10, the Chatusoki says, Jana dipena bhavasvata. I will give you with the torch of knowledge, I will illuminate your heart and dispel the darkness due to ignorance. You know, Krishna said this in the Chatusoka of Bhagavad Gita. And the Lord is in everyone's heart. So I simply need to just wait for the mercy of the Lord to give me the torch of knowledge, and I'm fine. So why do we need to surrender to a spiritual master? Why? In chapter 13, you know, from text 8 to 12, you know, there's 20 items of knowledge. And in the purport, Prabhupada has given us this, one of the items of this 20, one of the items is Acharya Upashanam, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada has explained to us the principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Is essential. Krishna, no, Prabhupada doesn't say that this is optional. This is essential. Even for one who has taken to devotional service, it is most important. Prabhupada given us this statement. Even for one who has taken to devotional service, it is most important. Prabhupada says most important. Even if you are chanting around, observing the four regulative principles, doing some seva for the program, accepting a spiritual master is still most important. And Prabhupada continues to write, transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, before accepting a spiritual master, once you accept a spiritual master, then you are doing bhajan kriya, the third stage before reaching prema bhakti. The prema bhakti has 9 stages. The preliminary stage is shraddha, sadhu sangha, and bhajan kriya. By successfully performing this sadhu sangha, you get the mercy of the Lord. By doing devotional service with the devotees, you get the mercy of the Lord to give you a bona fide spiritual master. And Prabhupada writes, transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. You start to do bhajan. Bhajan means devotional service. And devotional service for us neophytes must be under the shelter of Guru. Without the link up to the parampara, the Lord doesn't accept our service. So bhajan means you are connected to the parampara and the Lord accepts your service. This is what Prabhupada has given us. And before one finds a guru, one must know what is a guru. One must know what is a guru. Prabhupada has always quote this example many times. If you want to buy gold, you must know what is gold. Or else you simply go out, waste your money and buy some copper. So you must know what is gold. Similarly, before accepting a spiritual master, which is such a major decision, much, much more important than you buying some gold. So this must be taken very seriously, and you must know what is the guru. You must know what is the guru before picking a guru. And in the science of self-realization, there's a title, there's a chapter title, What is a Guru? Prabhupada has given us the definition of what is a guru in the science of self-realization in that essay. I just give a short summary of the key points that Prabhupada has made. Prabhupada has wrote, the guru business is to bring his disciple from darkness to light. This is the business of the guru. Tamasima Jyotigama is bringing the disciple from the darkness to the light of knowledge. This is the business of the guru. The guru doesn't promise you become God if you chant some mantra. The guru doesn't say that if you take shelter of me, all your bad karma goes away. This is not a guru. The guru is not here to adjust a material situation, because the guru has realized, Abhama Bhuvana Loka Puna Avati Nojuna, you cannot be happy here. And the philosopher has described, if you think that taking a guru you'll be happy here, it's just like a vegetarian thinking that a charging bull will not attack him. For example, in Spain, you know, people like to be chased by bulls. If you think that you're a vegetarian, the bull doesn't chase you, you must be crazy. Similarly, if you think that you're a devotee, you're untouched by this material energy of the Lord, you must be crazy. Because the Lord has said, Brahma Bhuvana Loka, even Lord Brahma has this problem. Bhuva Abhachinojuna. So this is the realization. So the guru's business is not to handle your material affairs. He's only interested to bring you from the darkness of ignorance to the right of knowledge. That is the business of the guru. He's not here to adjust your material situations. And Prabhupada also give us another sentence. The guru's business is to see that no human being suffers in this material world. This is the guru's business. No human being suffers here. Samsara dava nalalila loka chainaya karunya ganagana matvam. Samsara dhavana, this material world is like a burning forest. Whole place is burning, full of miseries. And who comes? The guru comes, he's like a cloud. His mercy is like a cloud he gives to everyone. So Prabhupada says the guru's business is to see that no human being suffers in this material world. So that's the guru's business. His mercy is given to everyone. But whether or not you receive his mercy is up to us, whether we are surrendered or not. And of course, another statement given to us by Prabhupada is the guru is one. Guru is one. We must understand this very important concept. Guru is one. Because it comes in disciplic succession. The guru cannot be two. For the real guru does not speak differently from his predecessor. The guru comes from Parampara. He just repeats what the predecessors, the Acharya, and what the Acharya has spoken comes from Krishna. Because who can speak religion, religious principles? Religious principles has to come from God. And a real guru who comes from disciplic succession, he does not speak differently from his predecessors. So Prabhupada has explained, the guru may be this person or that person, but the message is the same. Therefore, it is said that the guru is one. This is the reason. The message is one. Because it's coming down from Parampara. There cannot be different opinion between two gurus. Because they receive the knowledge is from the same source. Ultimately it goes to the source is the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord says, I am knowledge. The knowledge comes from the Lord. And Prabhupada has given us this sentence. He says, some spiritual teacher will say, in my opinion you should do this, in my opinion you should do that. But Prabhupada says, this is not a guru. A guru does not say, this is my opinion. When a guru speaks, he always repeats what the Parampara has spoken, what his guru has told him. There's no concoction. So whenever we are giving class, we must be very careful. You know, we must not try to concoct something that is outside what Prabhupada has given us. Because like for example, we try, you know, like trying to give us our own analogy to explain certain points in the scriptures, or to try to give us our own kind of realization, but this is not recommended. Because once we fall outside the Parampara, and that those things that we have spoken, that is concocted in our mind, will never penetrate the hearts of the listener. You know, Prabhupada has always given us this example. The postman, he may be a very poor man, but if he gives you a check of $1 million and he doesn't do any alteration, you can go to the bank and get $1 million. So I do not realize all this knowledge, but if I just simply repeat what I have spoken has some value. That's all. If I try to concord, it's like trying to do some alteration to the check. If you do some alteration to the check, you do some alteration to the message, you go to the bank, the check can never give you the $1 million. You alter the message will never be effective. This is the meaning of Evam Parampara Paktam Imam Raja Shayo Viduhu. The great saintly kings understand this message from Parampara, from one spiritual master to another spiritual master. And Prabhupada has told us this important statement. Taking on a guru is not simply a fashion. This is very, very important. For those who are intending to take guru, or those of us who have been taken guru, we must understand this statement. Taking on a guru is not simply a fashion. It's not a fashion. Prabhupada has given us the qualification for taking a guru. When we are very serious about understanding God and one's relationship with God, we need a guru. Only then you need a guru, if you are very serious about advancing in spiritual life. It's not that, you know, I come for program. You know, sometimes people ask me, are you initiated? What's your spiritual name? You know, you're not initiated, you feel that, oh, I do not belong here. You know, I want some sense of belonging, you know. You know, maybe when I'm initiated, you know, I can, people call me, you know, His Grace in front, you know. This is not the reason. This is not a passion. We're not joining some club or something, you know. The guru and siksha relationship is very serious. Prabhupada has said very seriously, taking on a guru is not simply a passion. It's not that, you know, oh, I heard that taking on a guru is very nice. At initiation, it takes all the sins of the disciple. This is not. The reason why we are taking a guru is not because we want to get rid of our bad karma. This is not the reason. And taking on a guru means, doesn't mean that, oh, he's now very auspicious. Yes, I've taken a guru. I can ask him all my material problems. He will solve it for me and I can have a happy life here. No, no, no. This is not the purpose of taking a guru. And taking on a guru, as Prabhupada has given us, is we must be only and until when we are very serious about understanding God, our relationship with God, then we need a guru. And the mood of taking a guru is very important. And what is the better example than Arjuna? In the pages of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada has given us this example. Arjuna's mood in taking Krishna as a guru is very, very nice. In chapter 2, text number 7, Arjuna says to Krishna, Kripanyadoso pahata swabhavaha Pritchami tvam dhamma samudha chetaha Yatreyaha swam nishchitam buhitame Shishyati ham sadimam tvam prapanam. Let us read the translation. Arjuna says, in the battlefield on Kurukshetra, he says, now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. Kripanaya. I do not know what to do about my duty. I'm confused about my duty. I'm not calm anymore because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you, Arjuna is asking the Supreme Lord Krishna, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Yatsraheya Syan Nishitam. Tell me what's the best. Shreyas means best. Tell me what's the best for me. Now I am your disciple, Shisha, and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So until and unless we realize our position in this material world, actually we are all confused souls. We do not know what to do. We are identifying with the body. We think that we are this body. We are lamenting, you know, so much about this body. We are desiring so much for the comfort of this body. We are thinking of this family, our family relationship, you know, thinking of our job, you know, attached to so many things. Actually, we are actually confused. But until and unless we realize we are confused, then we become humble. Because if you think that you're okay, everything you're doing fine, I'm having a nice job, I'm earning good salary, my wife, children, parents, family, relatives, friends, very nice to me, you do not feel the pains of material miseries. Actually, you're suffering, but you do not understand. Until and unless we realize, we actually realize our position, we actually confused about our duty. And our duty as a human form of life is to achieve the highest perfection. And the highest perfection, as Krishna says, the goal of knowledge is to achieve the Supreme, attaining the Supreme, go back home, back to Godhead. Until and unless we realize what is our real interest, we will not become humble because we think that we are handling our material affairs very nicely. We must realize we are actually confused soul. Then we become humble. And we must realize, Arjuna, he says, because of miserly weakness. Prabhupada always says, Kripana, don't be a Kripana. Don't be a miser. What is this miser? A miser doesn't know how to use money. He just counts the money. So, if you have this human form of life, if you do not make use of human life to ask about your position, to achieve the highest perfection of life, you are like a miser who does not know how to use money. You do not know how to use the life of a human form that's given to you by the Lord. That's why you are miser. It's not that you know you don't give money. Prabhupada says, don't be a miser. It's not that you are a misery person. You don't give to charity. The miser means, don't misuse this human life. like a miser who misuses the money simply by counting them. You are misusing your human life if you just use it for sense gratification. Then you are a miser. This is the meaning of a miser. And we must surrender. Like how Arjun surrendered to Krishna. We must surrender. If the mood of surrender is not there, all your inquiries is useless. Tat vidhi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshanti tegyanam jnaninastattvadarshinaha. You can inquire. Paripasnena, inquiry. But sevaya must be there. And before you can do seva, you must be surrendered. Then you can take the instructions of Guru. If you are not surrendered, you do not get the full instructions of Guru. So just now we discussed the pastime of Srila Prabhupada with Mukunda Das and to become Swami. If you are fully surrendered, then the full mercy will come. Or else all your inquiries will not have fruits, you will not have the mature knowledge. And Prabhupada has given us a very nice point in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 45. Prabhupada says, simply getting the weapon of Dhyana is insufficient. If you think that I simply sit down at home and read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, I will achieve all perfection. This is not accepted by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, simply getting the weapon of Dhyana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instruction. You're holding a blunt blade, you cannot cut anything. We are trying to cut our attachment to this material world. We are trying to use the weapon of Gyan to destroy the ignorance that we have. But this weapon of Gyan is sharpened only by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. If you do not do that, it's a blunt sword, you cannot do anything. So this point we must remember. I think we better stop. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. Please forgive me if I've offended you in the course of the discussion. If there's any corrections, any mistake I made, please correct me. And if there's any questions or comments, we welcome that from the devotees as well. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or
one quick question before we start. Maybe you should mind the ordinary
comments. Come in front, Babu, come in front.
Actually, you had a very great, very thought-provoking discussion about the Guru, principle of Guru. I just wanted to know, if you have the process of initiation it links you to the parampara or the disciplic succession, and the knowledge is impregnated into the disciple. But there are two forms of surrender, because if you say that you can surrender by spirit, or you can surrender through a formal physical surrendering or taking initiation. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote a very beautiful article on the preceptor or the guru, principle of guru, he mentioned that the process of initiation, the formal process of initiation doesn't matter, because the preceptor is chosen by your spirit of surrender and how you follow him throughout his life. And if you fail to do so in any point of your life, he is not your disciple in true sense. So, but that gives a license to all the people in general, the masses in general, that they can surrender to the spiritual master through spirit, not going through the process of initiation or formal kind of diksha. So, how do you differentiate these two things?
So, Prabhuji, your question, if I get it correctly, is by spirit means the spiritual master is not present anymore.
If he's there.
Actually, surrender to spiritual master. The surrender means you carry the instructions in your heart. That's the meaning of surrender. It's not physical. It's not the Bapu, it's the Vani. The Vani actually makes one the disciple. Not the physical surrendering, kneeling down before the spiritual master. That is the external. But the internal means I surrender to the spiritual master means I take his instruction very seriously. I carry it in my heart. That's the meaning of initiation. To carry the instructions of the spiritual master in your heart. That is the meaning of initiation. Not the external surrender. And if you cannot surrender in spirit, because you must go in front of the spiritual master and he will give you the instruction. This is a living process. The spiritual master and the disciple is a living process. I understand some deviation of the ISKCON group, they form their own group, they say, oh, I can initiate you to Srila Prabhupada. You can be Srila Prabhupada's disciple. But this is not accepted. This is not accepted. We don't accept this philosophy. I think there's a term for it, they call it Rigvik. We don't accept this. Once a devotee asks me, can I just surrender to Srila Prabhupada, and that person, being Prabhupada's disciple, link me to Prabhupada. This is not acceptable. Because by doing so, it's actually very offensive to Srila Prabhupada. He's saying that, oh, Srila Prabhupada approves such a process that is not approved by Parampara. Never before in Srimad Bhagavatam you see this case. Someone initiating someone in the name of another person. Never done in Parampara. They're saying that Prabhupada has violated the Parampara. This is a big insult to Prabhupada. And also, it's an insult another way to say that Prabhupada has not produced a single bona fide disciple. They say the line, Prabhupada, after that all disciple is not bona fide. And this will pain Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada, for the spiritual master, his diksha is so dear to him. So this in spirit is not approved by the Parampara. So if we surrender to Guru, we must ask him, what is your instructions for me, Gurudev? And if you carry the instructions of the spiritual master in your heart, that is the meaning of surrender. Not the physical surrender. So we are in spirit with the spiritual master. I remember this, Ramanuja Acharya, he has given 17 instructions upon his departure from this world. He's from Sri Sampradaya. He says, if you follow these previous 16 instructions, you are never away from me. So that's how we carry Guru in the heart. We carry the instructions. The Vani in the heart. Hare Krishna. Is that alright for me?
This question was also brought up during the GBC meetings, and His Holiness Bhakti Chandra Maharaj made a very nice statement. He said that the physical surrender before the Guru is a prerequisite, but it is not the most important thing. What is important after the physical surrender is that the disciple accepts the Guru as his living representative, enshrines him in his heart, and accepts all the instructions of the Guru as if there is no tomorrow. So this point was very nice. So Bhakti Chandra Maharaj said that both of them go hand in hand like a railway track. You need both lines to run parallel with each other. But ultimately, for the railway, for the train to run nicely, it needs a destination. And only Guru who has given that instructions and the disciple who follows that instructions can actually attain the destination. So in that way, there's no, as Prabhuji mentioned, there is no real conflict, but rather they go hand in hand. But ultimately, more important than anything else, the denominator is actually following of the instructions. So that is very important. But at the same time, to get away from that argument that we don't need a living representative, therefore Prabhupada always said that Parampara is dependent on one person speaking personally to the other. As Prabhuji said, to inquire would mean you need the Guru in front of you. To accept his instructions would mean you must enshrine it in his heart. So that's why I hope this helps you. We'll have to stop here. Is that okay, Prabhuji? We apologize because they are going to have a band session here. They have very kindly stopped for about 1.5 hours. They were not supposed to, but Krishna helped us so that we could hear Prabhu take a nice class today. So this is Krishna's arrangement.
Thank you, Prabhuji.